This episode of the Noise Pop Podcast is powered by Do the Bay.
Are you thinking music or food
Sports
stuff?
And rec.
The best resource for finding out what's going on in the Bay Area and beyond.
Oh, T got the mezzanine. Okay.
Oh, Palika.
Curated by locals for locals, Do the Bay is the number one event site in the Bay.
Oh, Bill Mayer.
Win tickets to hundreds of events, secret shows, exclusive parties, and more.
Bill Maher.
Visit dothebay.com or download the free Do Stuff app and start doing awesome stuff.
Honestly, I don't really know how to be a headliner yet. I'm still figuring that out.
I mean, God, if I knew a couple years ago that we were going to play, you know, Outside Lands and play The Independent and play Noise Pop and all these festivals that we had loved, I would have said you're crazy.
And I definitely couldn't be with a label that was like, you have to dress like this and let me do what I do best.
Welcome back to the Noise Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli, coming to you from Different First Studios in San Francisco, California. Late last month, Noise Pop Festival descended on San Francisco and parts of Oakland. And when I say descended on, I really mean it, because the festival took over just about every major club and music hall in the area. And it's been at it for 24 years, becoming notorious for booking big name bands like Death Cab for Cutie and the White Stripes before they were household names, and some of the city's most intimate venues. Even to this day, you never know which up-and-coming bands at Noise Pop Fest are going to be the next big thing. So when we put our heads together to plan the best post-fest episode possible for you, we knew we had to set out to talk to some of our favorite rising acts, Heartwatch, Daywave, and Hazel English. Who all seemed to be intertwined as Bay Area locals on the cusp of a breakout, and they were all playing notable shows at Noise Pop Festival. Also, we made sure to speak to an A-list veteran of the festival, Hamilton Lighthouser, formerly the frontman of the Walkmen, and we talked about some of his experiences at the festival. He also just happened to make a big reveal at the end of our interview, so stay tuned for that. You're going to want to know. Trust. Okay, let's start from the top. At last year's Noise Pop Festival, SF's catchy pop group, Heartwatch, opened for Cathedrals at The Independent. Coincidentally enough, this year, they headlined the very same showcase, which doubled as the record release party for their newest self-titled album. Their music plays on San Francisco's free-spirited, happy-go-lucky lifestyle, and they're a good example of how bands, local and beyond, have gotten an opportunity to shine and grow via the Noise Pop Festival. They're set to go on tour this month with The Flavor Blue from Seattle, but had their headlining set at The Independent to tackle just before leaving town. So I caught up with two-fifths of Heartwatch, singer Claire George and guitarist-keyboardist Eric Silverman, before they ran on stage. And I started by asking them how it feels to be a headliner this time around.
I don't know if I'm feeling the pressure of it. I am feeling the pressure of it, so thank you. I wasn't a minute ago. But no, it feels great. It feels like a really good excuse to play really well and have a bunch of people out and have a great time. I mean, that's why we specifically chose to release our album tonight, was because we had this great opportunity to play here. It's this big San Francisco thing. It's a way for us to kind of celebrate with San Francisco, with this festival. The stars kind of aligned and we're just, you know, ready to do it big.
And then it also just showcases kind of, you know, different arts and media in San Francisco. So I think it's special for us in particular because we have had such a, you know, a strong presence in the Bay Area and we play most of our shows here in San Francisco. It feels like a home festival, and it feels really good to be playing it.
I like where your sound has gone from when you guys were the Tropics to Heartwatch, and now this album that's getting released tonight, which is a big deal. I like it. It's really good, catchy pop music.
Do you?
I do like it, absolutely. I think I was like whistling one of your songs when I was like making coffee this morning.
There we go.
You know, you were telling me about this this one gentleman who interviewed you, said you guys are on this ride, and I do think you guys are on a ride, and I see it going somewhere, and I'm curious where it's going and like what are you thinking about maybe signing with somebody or like where do you want to take this show?
I mean, God, if I knew a couple years ago that we were going to play, you know, Outside Lands and play The Independent and play Noise Pop and all these festivals that we had loved, I would have said you're crazy. So everything, for the past year, has just been bonus. But as far as where it's going, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, if someone came to us with kind of the right offer and wanted to really get the music out in the right way. I think that's something we really want to do. I know we want to do a lot more touring. I know we want to do a lot more writing. Things are starting to really kind of gel together, and people are starting to respond to it in the crowd a lot more, and that's starting to feel great. So, you know, just keep doing it, making new music, playing more shows, and seeing where it goes. I'd love to play more festivals, love to do more bigger touring, for sure.
The night after Heartwatch's show, I headed to the rickshaw stop to talk with Jackson Phillips, the frontman and producer of Oakland indie pop band Daywave. Daywave's been building steam big time, with damn near 10 shows coming up at South by Southwest, and a newly announced headlining world tour, which we've linked to on our blog at noisepop.com/podcast. And just last month, Jackson even had an appearance on Zane Lowe's Beats One radio show.
We have a brand new world record from a band that sort of fell in love with really around the inception of Beats One back in 2015 with a song called Drag, which we just thrashed across the station. And ever since then, you know, we've been spoiled by Daywave. One song after another has put us in a wonderful place.
In the past year, Daywave also went on tour with Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes, sold out a headlining set at one of my favorite venues in New York City, the Mercury Lounge, and now was all set to play their headlining set at Noise Pop. We sat down with Jackson right after soundcheck at the rickshaw stop. One thing that really stood out to me when we talked last time is that you were telling me that when you were with your old band Carousel, that helped you be able to craft good pop music. Talk about that, like how, you know, going through those motions with Carousel and how it's helped you kind of tighten everything up with Daywave.
Well, when I was first doing Carousel, I was pretty excited about it because it was like my first time making songs and putting them out there. And we were like touring and we played South By and it was really fun. And I remember somebody telling me like, oh, this is your first project? Like, yeah, you always got to have one like shitty one before you do one that works. And at the time I like was not accepting that. I was like, no, this is going to be the one that works for me. But after like a couple years, I just kind of realized it wasn't really the music I wanted to be making, so it was a good opportunity for me to start something new, and I had made all these mistakes with Carousel, so right out of the gate, I kind of like wrote them all down and was like, okay, well, I should fix that, and so it did really help to have this project in the past where I had already gone through everything, but I had done everything kind of wrong because it was my first attempt, you know, so it's kind of like a trial and error thing, but, you know, simple things like your band name, making sure you Carousel, you know, like, it's, if you Google it, it's like you're going to get the musical. You're not going to get the band. So, and there's tons of other things. And musically, too, I just like by having that project, I kind of figured out what it was I wanted to be making. And it wasn't necessarily like this slick electropop sound.
On being a producer, you know, you produce all of Daywave's music and you produce for Hazel English. How do you approach things as a producer, like creatively and artistically?
With her, it was actually in the beginning of starting Daywave when I first met her and started producing for her, but I just didn't even think about it. I just started doing things in the same way, and like at first it was just for fun and it wasn't really about making a project for her because there wasn't any idea to start a project. It was just like, oh, like I don't really know anyone in Oakland and like she makes music too, like let's just like make music for fun. And we made Never Going Home. And she was like, oh, I really like this. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, maybe you should start a project. From there on, I think she started, like, working on stuff by herself. But then she would bring it to me, and then I would produce, I'd, like, produce the songs that she had demoed out. And so, I don't know, it's kind of interesting that they're similar, but I think as it goes on, she's kind of going in her own direction a little bit.
Okay, so you opened for Albert Hammond Jr., and then I saw you open for Blonde Redhead, and I know that you're a big Strokes fan, so what was that like for you, like, as an up-and-comer, being an opener for, you know, someone that you've, like, looked up to their music, was an influence on you?
I remember the first show in Atlanta, we met we met them there, and like he kind of, I didn't know what to expect, if he would be like kind of standoffish or like kind of really cool. I had no idea. But like we get there and we walk in, and he just like pops out of his green room and is like, "Hey guys, I'm Albert." And he was like so nice. And he was just like, "Yeah, what do you guys need?" Like being really just like, you know, accommodating and stuff. And then, yeah, at first, that first second, I was kind of like, whoa, like, this is Albert from The Strokes. Like, this is crazy. And then he was just so, like, he was just, like, it was just, hanging out with one of your friends or something. So really quickly, it just turned into, kind of forgot that he was, you know, Albert from The Strokes. And it just became, like, oh, this is just, like, this guy that I'm, like, on tour with. And he's super nice, and his music's awesome. So, I don't know. I kind of got over the fanboy thing pretty fast.
I guess in closing, you're headlining today, man, and like anything different like in your approach from tonight now that you're the guy rather than opening up for somebody? Or
I don't know. This is actually the first headline show I've done in San Francisco. Honestly, I don't really know how to be a headliner yet. I'm still figuring that out. We played two headline shows before this, so like one in New York, one in London, and both times I felt kind of weird being the headliner because I wasn't comfortable with it yet. But I think the band is still getting used to it. And even today when we were sound checking, we were like, "Oh shit, we gotta stop!" Like, "Oh no!" And then I was like, "Wait, we're the band. We don't have to stop sound checking. Like, we can keep doing this for a little bit." I mean, clearly you want to be nice to the opening bands, but normally, like as an opening band, you're rushing through everything. So like we're still trying to get used to that. But I don't know. I think I'm pretty excited about tonight. Got some friends coming, and it's a good hometown show. Thank you. No.
Did you catch that part about Jackson producing a track for Oakland artist Hazel English? She played the Noise Pop Festival too, opening for Dying Coffee at Brick and Mortar Music Hall. Hazel's another musician, like Daywave, that instantly grabs you with a soothing, gazy sound that you really got to hear. She's only released a few singles that have all blown up on a ton of music blogs, some with over 300,000 spins on SoundCloud. And she totally feels like an artist who could be headlining her own set at next year's Noise Pop Festival, like Heartwatch did this year. We met up with Hazel here at Different First Studios after her Noise Pop show to get an idea of how she makes sense of all the buzz she's gotten.
When somebody like you has like quick success like this with, you know, a few songs in a row that all just kind of landed, have you been approached by labels? And like, what's, you know, what's your thinking there with labels? Like, are you slow playing kind of what you want to do, or has that happened?
Yeah, labels have contacted me, so it's really just about taking the time to figure out what's going to work best in the long run. Yeah.
That's important. What do you factor in? Like, what's of value to you in making that decision?
I like to look at what they've done with other bands and look at their roster and see if like I would fit in with that label and feel like they're going to kind of put my music out in the way that I would want. And I definitely couldn't be with a label that was like, you have to dress like this and things like that. Because let me do what I do best and then we can figure this thing out. Because I think in terms of music, there's so many different roles to play. And yeah, I just think it's about letting everyone do what they do best and kind of coming together as a team.
Well, I think that's good insight. That's good perspective from a young artist, because I think we've all seen bands that have gone you know, multitude of ways, who maybe signed with somebody too quick and it watered down their sound, or have like gone from, without naming names, have gone from label to label to label to label, and it's really, it's affected their identity. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining us. And we're super happy that you played Noise Pop Festival and that you were a part of that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
After talking with three up-and-comers on their experiences with the festival, I wanted to talk to an artist that's established a notable career through the years while making multiple Noise Pop Fest appearances in the process. The Walkmen were one of the most prolific indie rock bands of the last decade and a half. They played Noise Pop Festival first in 2005, right after their seminal debut, Bows and Arrows, came out. And then they came through again to play the fest in 2008. After the release of their fantastic final album, 2012's Heaven, the band sort of silently split up, and frontman Hamilton Lighthouser embarked on a solo project. And what do you know? Lighthouser came back to Noise Pop Fest this year, armed with material from two solo LPs and an EP with former Walkman guitarist Paul Maroon. Lighthouser and Maroon performed at this year's fest together, and in fact, one of my favorite moments of the entire festival was their surprise midnight set in the Viking Room of Café du Nord. The pair went to town on a half dozen tracks, none resonating more than when they played 11 o'clock Friday night off of Lighthouser's solo debut, Black Hours. And even though there were only two members of the Walkmen in the room, the energy felt like we might as well have been back at Noise Pop Fest in 2005 or 2008. I sat down with Lighthouser at Swedish American Hall before his set, and I had to start by asking him about how his process has changed since he's been working solo.
Well, in the later days of the Walkmen, we lived in different cities. Everybody did. There's only two of us left in New York. So if you're writing songs with someone, like, for instance, Paul, who lived in New Orleans, there's a lot of emailing and there's a lot of working by yourself. So it became more and more isolating. So once we decided to go our separate ways, I just sort of continued writing music the way that I had been doing it. But luckily, I met this guy, Rostam, who was just mutual, we had mutual friends, and he lived near me, actually. We started writing music together, and we wrote two of the songs on Black Hours together. He has a completely different process for writing music, so it really sort of shed new light. I don't know, it was one of those like very inspirational things where you can start seeing the way you're working differently and makes it fun in a new way.
Which were the two songs? One of them was the single, right?
One of them was called Alexandra, and one of them was called I Retired. But since then, I've worked with Paul a lot too, and we have a really great system going that I hope we continue to do for a long time. But I also have just yesterday finished a record I've been working on for 2.5 years with Rostam. And we've been it's just been a slog. It has been a long haul. But we finally finished yesterday, and we are very excited about it.
I was not aware of that record that you were working with on him. Say that one more time.
We haven't told anybody about it yet.
And it's funny because he seems like he's been pretty busy because he just officially left Vampire Weekend. And
right.
So.
But he told me that about 2 years ago. He made the decision a long, long time ago. They just announced it. I mean, when we left, when the Walkmen split up, we didn't even want to say anything. I wasn't planning on it, but we had talked about it at least a year before anybody knew that it was before it was public knowledge.
And when can we expect that to come out?
Well, I hope. I mean, we're finished. We finished mixing yesterday. I'm hoping the sooner the better for me. I got nothing else going on right now. So.
Dear God came out only on vinyl. It was on an Etsy store that it was on sale for. Mm-hmm. Talk about that
Still
decision.
Still is for sale right now. HamiltonLighthouser.com. Check it out.
Do you ever think that you'll make the album for sale outside of that vinyl only Etsy sale?
No,
or?
I don't want to. I don't want to. I like it better. If it was up to me, I would never put any music out digitally. But unfortunately, that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
But this is our project that we care about and want it to be this way. So no, I don't think we'll ever release it digitally.
Does it mean more for you then that it's just on vinyl?
I just like it better personally. I just am not into like digital music. I don't find it very exciting. I find it a lot more like satisfying and fun and interesting to put out a physical piece. And I also just like vinyl, so.
Yeah. I'm excited that you're one of our guests for this, because this is your third time playing Noise Pop Festival. I think you played with the Walkman in 05 and 08, and I'm not sure if there was one in between 08 and 2016.
Yeah, we've been around the block.
And is there something that stands out about playing Noise Pop versus playing other festivals for you? Like, does anything notable?
Well, it's different than one of those festivals where you're in like a big field and all the bands are there. It's nice that it's your own show and you're at your own club. We can be in this nice place here.
And then this is a little bit different, because is it just you and Paul that are playing tonight?
Yeah, we have this show we've started doing that actually has been going surprisingly well and really fun. So I think for the foreseeable future, I'm sort of more interested in doing this kind of stuff than I am in rocking out. I've rocked out a lot, you know?
Between the dozens of acts I saw and the artists I spoke with at Noise Pop Festival this year, it just further drove the point home for me that this fest is still a place to not only discover new talent, but also to see venerable acts experimenting and taking risks. I love talking to artists like Daywave for breaking out big time, and then to juxtapose that with Hamilton's words on life with and after the Walkman, I just can't help but feel like one day the Daywaves, Heartwatches, and Hazel Englishes of the world will be in that chair too. Thanks again for joining us. The Noise Pop Podcast is recorded at Different First Studios in San Francisco. Our producer is Ashley Ann Krigbaum, and our executive producer is Dawson Ludwig. Special thanks to our guests, Claire George and Eric Silverman of Heartwatch, Jackson Phillips of Daywave, Hazel English, and Hamilton Lighthouser. Check out our blog at noisepop.com/podcast for a slew of links that were mentioned in this episode. I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli. Look out for our next episode, where we'll bring you some of our favorite artists and songs from South by Southwest. To Austin we go. Cheers.